You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back. Nice to have you here at 8:06, live from Lake Wissota on this Thursday morning, May 8th. Did I say 8:06, Greg? I'm sorry. I meant 7:06. Here's the thing, folks. I know. Bring in Brittany for a full explanation of this too, because then Brittany's going to have her weather. The best way to explain it is the fact that if folks watching on social media, I've got my Roy Kent mug, my Roy Kent coffee mug. Thank you very much. Which I normally have on Fridays. This is my Friday because I've got a little time off starting tomorrow, and clearly, vacation brain is real. And it is already creeping into the mix here, folks. So good morning. It's 7:06. It's 7:07 now. Nice to have you here up north. It is still Thursday. It's May the 8th. And coming up this hour, we will be talking to Chad Holmes about what he's following in the Wausau area. We will talk about the big announcement promised by Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy today about overhauling the nation's air traffic control system. And he had a lot of terrible things to say about his predecessor, Pete Buttigieg, and how bad the system was, except that he's part of the reason that it is this bad. And so we'll talk about Sean Duffy trying to have it both ways on this issue coming up in a little bit. Then in our next hour, we will talk to State Senator Sarah Kieski about her bill that would prohibit hedge funds from owning single-family homes in Wisconsin. We'll explain why that is important to address the affordable housing crisis in the state. Sean O'Malley will be here to talk about money and markets, and Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check. So much still ahead. But now let's bring meteorologist Brittany Merlo in for the forecast. On a morning where temperatures are ranging from the upper 20s to the mid-40s, and that range is like within 100 miles of each other, practically. I mean, we've got 27 degrees up in Hayward, and you've got 45 in Hudson right now. So I suppose it's not so much distance as it is topography to what your temperature is going to be. You see how I like that word? I'm almost a scientist, too.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what I use this as? This defines the Northwoods, I think. If you are under a frost advisory right now, if your temperatures dip to that freezing mark, you're in the topography of the Northwoods, I would have to say. So we are looking at bitter cold, below freezing. If you've planted anything, I hope that you brought it inside or covered it up, because up north, yes, it is doing damage to those sensitive plants. And we are going to look at those below freezing temperatures or near freezing, creating frost, moving its way south through the state tonight. So we are looking at frost advisories definitely going out, probably from the Fox Valley to Madison area. So if you have sensitive plants that you already put outside, get those inside before you go to bed tonight, because we are dropping right to that freezing mark or those low 30s in those areas tonight. But otherwise, a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Barely any clouds out there, tons of sunshine, it is calm, the winds have eased, and we are looking at comfortable high temperatures today, still on the cooler side, if you want to call it that. We will reach highs in the mid-50s far east by Lake Michigan to the mid-60s far west. And of course, tomorrow we're still staying sunny, still dry, we're getting a little bit warmer too, to about 60 degrees towards the Milwaukee area, all the way to 80 degrees, far northwest, Superior, Chippewa Valley. You're going to be feeling the heat. And then we're all going to be feeling some mid-70s throughout central parts of the state. We hang on to the heat for the weekend too. And actually, the chances of rain on Saturday look so minimal, I don't even think it's going to happen anymore. Looks like we're going to hold off on rain until Tuesday and Wednesday of next week.
That's great. And the other thing that's great about the weather this time of year, whatever the temperature, the later sunsets. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 36 degrees. It had been down to 33 at sunrise. I do enjoy the post 8 p.m. sunsets. Yesterday, I mowed 4 lawns in Tigerton. I have more to mow today. It keeps me busy, but it helps to beautify the community. And then related to our history segment a minute ago, he said, I sit and watch Welcome Back, Kotter on channel 5.4 in Green Bay when I'm not working. See, it's when they split up all the TV signals, mm-hmm. and now there's like a 0.2 and a 0.3, and they run a lot of oldies on a lot of these stations. And so clearly, Welcome Back, Kotter is one of them, the show that made John Travolta famous, he writes. Before Saturday Night Fever and Grease, he was, of course, Vinnie Barbarino on Welcome Back, Kotter. We mentioned Tony Tennille's birthday. She's 85 today, and he reminded us that the Captain and Tennille had a variety show in the late 70s. Everybody had their own variety show in the late 1970s. And Shiju, I apologize. She notes on YouTube, made me panic, Pat. I would have been late at 8:06.
Pat.
Yes.
It is. Whips you up a little bit, though. Gets that little panic. The heart
it really
going.
Does. Yeah, we were talking about Coca-Cola earlier, you know, or my Roy Kent coffee mug. Who needs coffee or Coca-Cola when you have somebody on the radio getting the time wrong?
That'll just a little jolt.
Yep, that'll do it for you. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you in an hour here.
Sounds good.
All right. Plenty ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network today, including Matt and Air on Air coming up after this fine program starting at 9 o'clock. And Mr. Bach will be back with Jane, Matt and Air with some cool guests.
Yeah.
I mean, Brittany Merlot being one of them, but it's you're talking sports today too.
Talking sports with Paul Noonan. He is a writer for the Acme Packing Sports Company. He's been writing. He's our bi-weekly. Is that what it is? Other week?
Bi-weekly.
Thank you. Our sports guru, he comes in this week. We'll be talking. I'm sure we'll be talking about the Brewers, probably a little residual on the Bucks. And and then we got Brittany Merlot with Wine and Weather just before him, and Jim Santel this morning at 9:30 because he's on every single Thursday at 9:30.
All right, and then coming up on the Todd Alba show later today from 2 to 4, State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner from Green Bay will be talking about AmeriCorps defunding and its impact for the Green Bay area and beyond. He'll have Keegan Kelly from Cracked.com on as well. And the Maggie Dawn Show has a special today on cyber crimes, so you'll want to tune in to that. And then Nightlight with Pete Schwaba has singer-songwriter Deandra Marie coming up later this evening. So plenty across the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to learn more, head over to their website, civicmedia.us. Learn more about the stations, the shows, how to get this all on podcast form. It's all right there for you at civicmedia.us. And, of course, for us here at Up North News, you can always head to upnorthnewswi.com for the latest stories that we're working on, the latest videos that we've put up on social media. Sign up for our newsletters as well. Governor Tony Evers put out a press release announcing that the State Building Commission has approved some new projects worth $125 million statewide. It's always a range of projects. I served briefly on the State Building Commission, and it gives you such an appreciation for the infrastructure of the state. Now, if you were going to come at this from just a hardcore right-wing point of view, you'd say, well, that's just proof that government is too big if you've got all these buildings to maintain. No, it tells us that there's nearly 6 million people in this state. When you got 6 million people, that's a lot of university buildings, your state fair park, your prisons, and so many other things. And those things need maintenance or sometimes replacement. Now, the governor notes that the commission's actions are the first since they failed to reach a consensus on what the governor had originally proposed. The governor's recommendations ran up to $4 billion to support major projects in 26 counties across the state. All kinds of projects to help with the state's infrastructure, to modernize things like the corrections department and the UW system. And the governor's press release notes that over the past three budget cycles, due to obstruction by Republican members of the commission, they have turned down, I think he had a total written down someplace, just billions of dollars of upgrades that didn't take place or haven't taken place yet. And I tell you that to tell you about our next story about Sean Duffy and the air traffic control system. Because we've known for a long time things like baby boomers are retiring. Let's replace copper wiring with fiber optic cables. Let's upgrade computer systems to the internet age. Let's replace aging equipment, and so on. These are all known things about not just the air traffic control system, but about so much more across our country. But let's stick with the air traffic control system because through Sean Duffy's unfortunate luck, shall we say, He happens to be running the U.S. Department of Transportation just as we reach a breaking point. It would be like becoming Secretary of Transportation just as that tragic bridge collapse happened in the Twin Cities several years back, where, again, you have bridges failing inspections. It would frighten you to know how many bridges are in a condition that needs replacement. Not to the point where they have to close the bridge right now, but you never know as a bridge gets that old. Well, the same goes with the air traffic control system that Sean Duffy is now leading. And as you are well aware, there have been some true tragedies. And there's also been some tragedies in the making, not the least of which is happening at the airport in Newark, New Jersey, which serves New York City, where computer radar screens have gone dark. In one case recently for 90 seconds, leading people to want to take PTSD leave. And I'm not even kidding about that, that they were so freaked out at trying to keep planes from crashing into each other. Well, Sean Duffy was recently on Fox News. I know this won't surprise you because that's how President Trump named his cabinet, was he looked for all of his favorite talking heads on Fox News and gave them positions of responsibility. Sean Duffy was trashing Pete Buttigieg, his predecessor as President Biden's Secretary of Transportation, and about all the ways that the system is falling apart and it needs to be fixed, and he's just the guy to do it, and I'm sure Elon Musk will have something to do with it. And today, later today, Sean Duffy is apparently going to unveil some kind of a big, beautiful plan that is going to revolutionize the air traffic control system. And all that would be fine. That would be one thing altogether, except that what we do already know is part of the reason things are this bad is because of Sean Duffy. He was in Congress in 2019 when there was a significant package that was put forward to modernize the FAA. And Duffy and other Republicans killed it, voted no to allocate the funds to upgrade. Again, all about saving money, taxpayer waste, fraud and abuse, and all of that. And after Duffy had served as Transportation Secretary, Congress was asked by Pete Buttigieg and President Biden to have the funds to hire another 3,000 air traffic controllers. And Congress said no. The Republicans running Congress said, no, got to save money. You're going to have to make do with what you've got. And that is what has led us to this place. When you've heard me say many times before, when Governor Evers is slammed by Republicans because his budget is so much bigger, thicker, has so many more pages, and that it's all about, you know, government spending. No, that's getting the work done. There's a lot of work that needs to get done in this country. Bridges that need to be replaced, buildings that need to be modernized, computers that need to be upgraded, copper lines. That was apparently the cause of the recent outage in Newark. There was something broke in one of the old copper lines, had not yet been upgraded to fiber optic cables. Somebody's got to do the work. And every time that a Democrat like Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg or Tony Evers has wanted to get work done, the Republicans have said no for the sake of saying no, with no replacement plan in place. Well, now Sean Duffy is going to unveil a replacement plan, and we'll scrutinize it. We'll see how much of it is stuff that he had already voted no to, he or some of his colleagues, all the years that they could have helped address this problem, but didn't until it was tragically as late as it is. Live from Lake Wissota, thanks for spending part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes is coming up in less than 15 minutes here on the program. The Houston Astros walloped the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday afternoon 9-1. preventing a sweep of the series by the Brewers. Josh Hader got a nice return, coming back to American Family Field for the first time since being traded away. The Brewers are off today, and then they are hitting the road for Tampa over the weekend, followed by a visit to Cleveland. Mr. Bach, I was going to look and check, I don't know if it's trademark or copyright, what it would be, but do you remember the old green bumper stickers, Escape to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
That seemed to be like ubiquitous for a time in the 80s, maybe the 90s as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
I'm just wondering if that's still, like, does somebody own that slogan, Escape to Wisconsin? And we're going to have to find out, because if not, we're going to steal it. Because starting on Thursdays now, during this segment, I would like to do a little something about where you could go for weekend road trips in Wisconsin. So, you know, we call it, you know, road trip weekend or community calendar or all kinds of things. But if I can get away with Escape to Wisconsin, you know, I'm going to give it a go. So Greg's going to consult with our lawyers right now. Maggie Dawn's going, please don't call me. No, this is not what you pay me for. So the first one that I wanted to talk about, these are features that we do at Up North News. You hear me talking about all the political stories that we do at Up North News. And we do. We do a lot about politics and things in the news and policy and a local government, things like that. But we also put up a lot of feature stories about what makes Wisconsin such a great place to live, work, and play in. And one of them is something that is starting tonight. This one is in Madison, where you can discover local art, food, and music. I'm very familiar with the farmers market in Madison. It goes all the way around the state capitol. If you've never been to it, it's got to be on your bucket list at least once. It's a little crowded, but it's worth it to walk all the way around Capitol Square, and it's just one big farmers market. But this is something different. Kicking off tonight is the Madison Night Market, and that is on State Street, which will be transformed into a celebration of local culture, art, and food with more than 40 participating businesses. There will be 70 vendors offering homemade goods, artisan foods, fresh produce. There will be food trucks, outdoor cafes, live music. And it's all taking place just 2 days before UW-Madison's spring commencement. And so the event tonight will celebrate the university's impact on the community. There will be a lot of vintage UW gear, some graduation-themed crafts, a special appearance by the Madison Traditions, Bucky on Parade statue in the 500 block of State Street, balloon displays, and a perfect spot for graduate photos. They're also doing something for Nurses Week. Vendors will have exclusive discounts for UW Health nurses and all nurses in the community. So again, if you're listening in that general area or planning to be down to Madison, it's on State Street. And State Street is basically this pedestrian and bus corridor only that connects the state capitol to the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. Very vibrant area, a lot of shops and things. There will be a family activity zone there as well. Let's see, there will be the Madison Reading Projects, Big Red Reading Bus. Oh, there's live music, Soul Impressions at 5 o'clock, Sam Ness at 7 o'clock, all at the Peace Park Music Stage in the 400 block of State Street. There will be buskers and other performers scattered throughout the market. You don't hear enough about buskers, Greg. In this day and age, I believe other folks refer to them as hobos. No? No, that might just be me. No. They're
You want to see some amazing buskers? Seattle, yes. At the Pike Market. Oh my God, they're everywhere, and they're 5-piece bands.
Yes, yeah. I know. And they're all going, did he just say hobos? I was just having fun. So yes, you'll see buskers and other performers scattered throughout the market. This is the first of 5 Thursday Madison night markets that have been announced by the Central Business Improvement District. It will be there in place again on June 12th, and then August 21st, September 18th, October 16th. And if you want to find out more, just go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and search for Madison Night Market, and you'll be able to find it there and learn a lot more. I've certainly learned a lot just seeing that story on our website and wanting to share it with folks, because, like I said, I've been to the farmers market. And by the way, a lot of stories on our website about the farmers markets around Wisconsin as well. I mean, And some cities have really taken theirs to a new level. Eau Claire had built a nice big pavilion some time back. And it's just a great way to get local produce and crafts. Oh, by the way, that opens up this debate. Farmers markets, should they be for food only?
No.
You'd be amazed how many. No, there's a lot of people that are like, oh, no, we shouldn't be selling other things there, toys and T-shirts and all that. It's like, no, it should be just food. Like, so we got the, it's kind of like the originalist debate with the Constitution, Yes, it says farmer's market, but,
Farmer, this really bothers me.
I have frustrated Greg yet again. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to trigger anything here, but.
I wish Kenosha would build a pavilion for their farmer's market so it could be year-round, because they have an outdoor and then the one moves indoor, and the indoor is fine, but the outdoor farmer's market in Kenosha is really, there's actually two of them during the summer, and they're down the block from each other.
Are those like Saturday things?
Yeah, they're Saturday things, and one of them always has puppies. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, if you're looking to encourage adoption of puppies, I mean, go to a place like that, have the puppies on display.
Absolutely.
That is amazing.
And they'll let you hold them. Like, they know people will just come in. They'll be like, here, we understand holding a puppy can melt stress away. So hold a puppy.
That is perfect. I love this. Yeah. We need a puppy room here. Yeah. Well, you do every so often. You bring Maybell in. Luke brings in Aurora. Okay. All right. Well, coming up later yet on the show, we have Sean O'Malley coming up. Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check. State Senator Sarah Kieski will join us in our 8 o'clock hour. We will also have another check-in with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. First, Chad Holmes is coming up. Along with that reminder, sign up for those newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. Hey, thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. We'll have more live from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined now by Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. How is Mr. Holmes this morning?
Beautiful morning here in downtown Wausau. The sun is out, and early in the morning we don't have the rumbles because we have a lot of construction going on. In fact, they are working right now across the way. The road is being torn up. There continues to be called the Foundry on 3rd, which is right across the street, sort of a mixed-use new building project, which I think we've talked about over the last couple of years. But it is we're moving on quickly. But as we get into the day, literally, I can feel, and I will shut that off, but literally can feel the building shake as the drills go later in the morning into the afternoon. I was talking to somebody earlier, I should say yesterday after the show, doing a pre-record, and all of a sudden the building starts to shake. But otherwise, it is a lovely morning here in Wausau.
I'm already hearing the piano, and then here comes Carole King singing, I feel the earth move under my feet. Yeah. So we've got our opening set for the next time we do a construction update from the beautiful Wausau area here. Thank you very much for filling in for me tomorrow and the following Friday as well, as I take a little time off here. And you've got a great guest tomorrow, is it, that you're going to be talking about? Online comments. And look, I just talked in the last hour. I called out some bad behavior that I saw as bad behavior from progressives, liberals, folks who wanted to speak out at the state capitol yesterday, but did it in a very rude and obnoxious and unnecessarily disjointed way that took focus off the bill. And that's just personal conduct. Then there's the stuff when people get behind a keyboard, and Chad, you and I both know how bad that can get.
Yeah, whoever the person that invented the online comment section,
Special place in hell.
But on Tuesday of this week, on the website WausauPilotsAndReview.com, the publisher and founder, Shireen Seewert, put out an opinion piece talking about how They have made the decision to disable comments on multiple stories published on their social media channels, basically saying that not only has there been disagreements of opinion, but violent threats, abusive language, hateful rhetoric, everything that the worst of the worst when it comes to online comments. And she wrote an interesting editorial on it. And I will be talking to her, and we'll have that tomorrow morning. I believe I have to talk to the higher ups that I'll be working with, but I believe we'll do it at 7:35 tomorrow morning. But she's always very interesting to talk to, and we'll discuss that. And I think generally about, you know, what's led to it, because I think here in this community, we've talked about it over the last, well, now it's, I mean, it's incredible how long this has taken, but I think it's about 8-9 months now since the infamous Dropbox move by Mayor Doug Dinney. And this continues to go along at a snail's pace, whether it's the state DOJ investigation, and then the ethics committee basically right now has decided they're going to wait for the state DOJ committee investigation.
Really?
But it's just taking for such a long time. And I was saying to somebody, again, maybe I'm off base here. Maybe I'm just, you know, off the rocker here. But my thought is, if somebody went to a local convenience store just down the street, came in, took some money, you know, made the robbery, the cameras were on them, and left, it wouldn't take 9 months to a year to figure out that something should be done.
No, sir.
I don't understand not. This. I don't understand, because the mayor brought the cameras with him. He said he did it. I don't know what's going on. Is proud of it.
Ignored legal advice and advice from colleagues before doing it, and has been proud of it ever since. Has essentially tried to monkey with the local ethics commission in light of it, playing political games with this issue, and all of it, much like with Donald Trump pre-2024 election. You know, justice delayed is justice denied, and that is working in Trump's favor. It allowed a convicted felon to become elected president. And, you know, now we have this situation in Wausau that should have been resolved a very long time ago. But it's led to raw feelings, which has been expressed in the online comments. And I really tip my cap to Shireen for shutting down the comment section, because here's the thing, folks. Yeah, the First Amendment is a real thing. It says government cannot infringe on your speech. It does not mean you get to say whatever you want in somebody else's sandbox. And comment sections have just become sewers rather than public squares. Now, that's not to say that public comments still can't be given. You can still send an email. You can still put it on a letter. If you care enough about something, you're going to put it down on paper. You're going to put a stamp on it and send it in, or email, or whatever. But the ease with which people can get so violent, and I see it on our comment sections all the time going through and weeding through some just stuff that is so beneath almost anybody else's dignity, that you are not bound to have a comment section. And if it gets to a certain point, and it did with Shireen, I remember her writing about having to take some time off for the first time ever, because it was just getting to be too much, and so good for her.
And the thing about it is, and if you look at the pilot, and I got great respect for what Shireen does with it, because you said it. I mean, they have letters to the editor. In fact, I mean, there's letters to the editor that I just shake my head at, but they're done in a way that I think is not, you know, crossing the line. I mean, I'm not sure if I've talked to you about this, but one of the four nominees to the ethics committee that Doug Dinney made to try to get some friendly ears, I would say, because some of the terms were coming to an end. Kevin Hermanine, last week, Mr. Hermanine wrote a letter to the editor criticizing former Mayor Katie Rosenberg's new state role, and basically implying that, number one, she's getting a made-up job with the state government, and then number two is still the puppet master of the Wausau Common Council.
It
was the craziest little letter, but he was able to write it and get his point of view out. And obviously I saw some of the comments online there as well. I think maybe, you know, that may have been one of the letters, but also there's an op-ed that is run every week. The last 2 weeks, it's from an independent here in Wausau, but is somebody that is, for whatever reason, close to Mayor Denny, and I don't think a big fan of former Mayor Rosenberg, but talking about hypocrisy of those of us, and I'll probably put myself right in this boat because I talked about this a couple of years ago, talking about the hypocrisy that the Wausau Common Council is using the Fred Prain maneuver to keep people like Kevin Hermanine off this board, or that the week before writing that his article, effort to remove Wausau's mayor resembles a coup attempt in slow motion. I mean, just that is where we are right now in this community. I mean, nobody's trying to remove Doug Denny from office.
No, end of story.
But that's what they're trying to push forward, and it's leading to a lot of, again, less than civil discussions right now. So it's something that I think we're going to dig into a little bit with Shireen tomorrow morning.
Well, yeah, and rightly so. And I don't even know what Katie Rosenberg's new gig is, taking a break from all that puppeteering that she's allegedly doing.
And the thing about, real fast, the thing about Katie is that she has been very much below the radar here in this community. She has not been coming out and being a major voice in all these controversies. I mean, I saw her at an event a number of months ago. You know, it was through the library. Actually, it was an author, and I just happened to see her, so I was talking to her, and I said, "Hey, if you ever want to come on and talk about, you know, anything you want to talk about," and she said, "No, I just think gonna stand back here for a while." Mm-hmm. And I respect that immensely, because I mean, it's easy to be then, you know, picking from the outside. No, she's basically letting Doug Denny do anything that, you know, let Doug Denny speak for himself at this point. But yet you had somebody like Kevin Hermanine just making stuff up. I mean, it was just crazy.
I've told Katie Rosenberg as well, the door is always open here. I will just hand her the microphone anytime, but that is not how she wants to do things right now. And while, again, I'm talking just about her private personal Facebook postings, they are some of the most inspirational, motivational, uplifting, inclusive posts you could ever want to read. This is somebody truly with a heart of gold, and somebody who truly wants to engage in public service. And the filth and the tomato throwing that is coming from ugly parts of the Wausau community that can't win something on its merits, and so they stoop to this level of imaginary attacks and personal attacks, is really, again, saying something about what Shireen's doing at the Pilot and Review. Greg, you experienced this just screening callers. I mean, there are callers that get through. Mm-hmm. There's callers that you have to listen to them for a while and go, nah.
No,
but you have to listen to it first.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the job, and I don't mind. And honestly, sometimes I'll have little, if I can do it, I will have small discussions with them and kind of say, well, no, this is, you know, it's sometimes they're trying to push a false narrative, and then sometimes they're telling us what we're doing wrong. And I always ask those people, I say, well, if you can provide the proof that we're wrong or there's a different side of the story we're not looking at, please send it to us. Please let us know. But this wholesale, you're wrong and you're bad and you're un-American, well, that's not a conversation. So try back later when you want to add something to the discussion, and it's not just, you know,
Your bunk, as my dad would say. Yeah, you're a doo-doo brain, whatever. And so we get people going, oh, you pre-screen, so just people who agree with you. No. I would love a healthy, you know, intelligent debate on things as much as the next person. Chad, you've taken more phone calls than I have on the radio, and you've engaged in these discussions. And there can be some remarkably civil disagreements. And I think it still blows people away that they feel like, oh, no, the only way to convey something now is to be, you know, trash talking.
Frankly, right now, and I think it's similar here than maybe even nationally, is you have folks that are so entrenched where they are. It doesn't almost matter anymore. Doug Denny has said, I mean, he's not going to move an inch. And then he has a mouthpiece over at WSCU that says, folks, go over to the city council meeting and cheer whenever Doug Denny says something. That's what's going on here. I mean, that and she's, you know, has a defense fund out there where Kevin Hermanine gave $5,000. for this very issue. And then now Doug Denny wants him on the ethics committee making the decision about the very same issue. It's very difficult right now because I don't get the sense that we live in the same worlds at times.
Well, we don't, in part because of the way that people choose to get their messaging. And if they're getting their messaging from places that are simply about gaining and amassing power and ruling rather than governing, then that's not going to be a big surprise. If that's the information bubble that they live in, and look, I could make this the size of a billboard, and I'm not sure it would get through to enough folks, but the way election results came down for people who only restricted themselves to right-wing media versus those who got it from elsewhere, similarly for education levels, if you're not expanding your horizons, then yes, you see everything as a threat rather than an opportunity to engage in discussion. And so that's why Shireen's doing what she's doing. She will be on with you tomorrow when you're filling in for me. And again, thank you very much for that. I will talk to you when I'm back in town.
And I look forward to all those people that want to call in and tell me how wrong I am. So,
and trust me, they will. Thank
Enjoy
you, Ted.
Your trip.
All right. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There is a particular Facebook post I would call your attention to over at the Up North News Facebook page. Again, if you're not there already and haven't looked it up, don't just search Up North News. That's a pretty common name. But if you put up Up North News WI, you're more likely to find us. And one of the posts that we put up is just a direct repost of a long thread, I believe on Blue Sky rather than Twitter, from State Representative Francesca Hong. And Fran is a chef. She has run a restaurant, so she's as a small business owner. In the past, she knows exactly what she's talking about in this thread when she leads it with saying, tariffs are hurting your favorite restaurants. Here's how. And like I said, there's a lot here, but she makes clear that it's, again, forget the chains for a second. It's your local restaurants will have to deal with tariffs on food and on packaging and on equipment. All of that is going to drive up their expenses. That's going to drive up menu prices. Restaurants are already taking a hit on margins that are so thin they're nearly unsustainable. The other thing tariffs do is forget just the direct correlation of price. That's assuming you can get the thing that you want to get and that you're going to have to pay more for it. The odds are also that you're not going to get the thing you want to get because some suppliers will just say no rather than pay the tariffs. We'll sell our products in Europe and Asia and at Australia, anywhere else in the world. We'll be fine, putting the USA in a timeout for a little while. But if you're disrupting a supply chain for a small business like a restaurant, especially if you want to serve, global cuisine, look, if you just want to sell, sweet corn and brats, you're going to be just fine. A lot of restaurants get their food, their supplies, their seasonings, their equipment from all over the world. It's how they stand out. And so if the restaurants have to pay more, you're going to pay more. At your neighborhood bistro, she writes, taco truck, noodle shop, they don't have the cushion to absorb something like this. And what makes it worse, she says, is the uncertainty. The constant changes, the back and forth in trade policy, make it nearly impossible for restaurant owners to plan, invest, grow, or even stay open. She says tariffs are not just numbers on paper. Tariffs are threats to jobs, to culture, to community. We need real solutions that support small business and not crush it under the weight of unpredictability. And that's, believe it or not, and some people will choose not to believe this, that's not a liberal or a conservative thing. It's really not. That's why you see as many conservative economists and others saying this is not the way to go. The Wall Street Journal, which is, as far right as most media goes, they have been against everything that Donald Trump's doing on tariffs from day one. Not that there isn't a role for tariffs, not that there isn't a role for trade deals, but you got to be smart about it. You got to negotiate each trade deal differently. And that's not what Trump wants to do. And now Trump most recently said something along the lines, Greg, of, oh, well, we don't even have to do deals. I don't have to sign deals. If people want to, you know, use the United States market, you know, they'll come to me. But this was the guy who promised he was going to work out deals with everybody.
He's the deal guy. He has a book called it.
I know. The Mr. Art of the Deal now says we don't have to have any deals.
The art of the you come to me? I mean, this. Okay, so let's see. Let's on the list here. He doesn't have to defend the Constitution. He doesn't have to hold the Constitution. He doesn't have to really know the Constitution. He doesn't have to do deals. He doesn't have to take responsibility. He doesn't have to do all the things presidents normally do. It's what is so golfing, rallies, and bemoaning the media. Those are his chief responsibilities.
And telling little girls they don't need 30 dolls.
Yeah.
That or 250 pencils. And, you know, from the guy that literally has a golden toilet, you know, and has spent decades showing off how ostentatious he can be, is now saying, well, you're going to have to make do with less this Christmas. So much like we talked about with, you know, dolls, the same goes for small businesses, that there are going to be these supply chain disruptions that are going to hurt. And by the way, because he's no longer seeking to get all these deals where he said he would fix everything, it just guarantees now that it's going to take longer whenever we do reach agreement. It's going to take that much longer for things to get back to normal.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what did we learn after COVID? It takes a while for supply chains to get restarted. You can't just flip a switch.
No, this is going to be years of repair. I mean, and this is what happens every time, Pat. When George W. Bush started a small war in the middle, not a small war, but you know what I mean, like not a world war, Barack Obama had to go in and spend the first 2 years handshaking and repairing the relationships. After Donald Trump won, Joe Biden had to go around the world and handshake and repair relationships. And that's what the next, and honestly, let's say in a perfect world, we get a level-headed Republican as president. Like, if those exist, please be out there somewhere. They're still going to have to go around the world and do even more handshaking and repairing of relationships. And half their term is going to be gone because they have to fix his mess.
And I guarantee if it's a Democrat instead, what you're going to see in the first 2 years is probably a Democratic Congress. And again, things will get fixed. During the Clinton years, he had a Congress for 2 years, and by the end of it, a budget deficit had become a budget surplus. In Obama's first 2 years, we got health care reform that we'd been talking about for decades. In the first 2 years of Biden's term, we finally got the infrastructure law that we needed and the best economic recovery post-COVID in the world. Mm-hmm. And then after 2 years, voters, you know, hear about how, oh, it's all costing so much, but then everything gets broken again, rinse, repeat, and that's where we are right now with the trade war. Greg Bach is back in 1 hour for Matt and Air on Air. What do you want to tell us? Let's see. You said
Jim Santel at 9:30, Brittany Merlot at 10:20, and Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company at 10:30. So stick around. And as always, this shouldn't be a thing rounding out the show, but come on back in an hour. Stick around for Pat, and then come on around to Matt and Air on Air. You can find us if you're in Madison on Civic Media app and listen live.
And thanks for all the fill-in. Well, I'm gone next week, especially on Monday the 19th, when we get to enjoy a special episode of Bach and the Doc.
Sort of worked.
Just sprung that on you. More in the next hour. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.